go of your various thoughts. So now we'd like to open it up to any questions that you might have. If you have any questions about anything that I was just talking about in the Dhamma talk or about the meditation practice or any associated type of questions, then feel free to raise your hand and well, actually, there's always a river, a stream of thoughts going on. And the mind is always thinking, unless we're sleeping, of course, even in sleep we dream, but we're not consciously kind of thinking. But otherwise, the mind is almost always thinking, because that is what keeps our sense of self alive. And most of those thoughts are dealing, as I already mentioned, with past and the future, or what's one going to do, keep busy, or even just getting caught up in, let's see, emotions and so on is a way for identifying with our problems and so on. So it's always reinforcing the sense of I. And this I is actually the ultimate root of most of our problems. And but we keep reinforcing it by identifying and thinking. So therefore, yes, it is very hard to stop. And the ultimate goal is not really to stop the thoughts, but to be able to distill out awareness from them and know that the thoughts are not my real mind. The thoughts are not really part of the consciousness. They're just objects floating through. Consciousness, awareness is something larger. And so the same way with the body, by training yourself to just watch the body sitting, watching it breathing, then that same kind of watching gets translated to your thoughts. You can kind of just watch the thoughts coming, but you'll still have a sense of peace even in the midst of those thoughts, because you're not getting lost into them. The main thing is we try not to get lost into them. Let them be there, come and go in the background, but as long as you're keeping in touch with some kind of subtler physical vibration, you won't get totally lost in the thoughts, and therefore they won't bother you so much. They don't become a problem. Thoughts are not the problem. It's identification with them and taking action, premature action, based on the thoughts, which mostly driven by greed and hatred and ignorance, which get us caught into problems. So therefore, don't think that you should be free from the thoughts, because only in the very highest stage of meditation, maybe thoughts may slow down significantly or even stop for a short period of time. But that shouldn't be your ultimate aim or goal. The goal is to develop awareness, a greater awareness in which everything flows through, but the mind isn't grasping, identifying, or clinging. And then there's no problem. Yeah, what was I saying?
Pardon?
What was I saying is the anchor. What is the anchor?
Anchor would be something like my breath.
Well, that's what I've been saying. You always come back the breath is your, that's what you try to keep your mind on. We don't purposely want to watch our thoughts, but they're going to be coming anyway. You let them go in the background. You don't purposefully try to watch all of them. Only the ones that start sticking hard and start you getting lost into them, then they can become a specific kind of object to examine or analyze and get some insight on it, hopefully to let go of it. But then you keep coming back to the present moment of the sitting body. So the sitting body, either the breathing or the body, or a combination, it doesn't really matter, but some pure physical vibration that's just in the present moment to get you out of your thoughts. So that is the anchor. So we don't just want to watch all of our thoughts going by. We have this anchor of the breathing body, but thoughts are going to come. And only when you reach deeper levels of meditation, maybe those thoughts will slow down and stop coming. But that shouldn't be the goal. You let them come and go in the background. But when you have better awareness, just noticing them, they'll kind of just disappear. And so the noticing, the ability to notice, keep your mind noticing, sitting, breathing, sitting, breathing, sitting, breathing, will help you to notice the thought earlier as it starts to come up, like just a brief little radar blip on a screen. You can notice, a thought of my mother's coming into the mind, a thought of my dog, or the past, the future. And just noticing it, it'll disappear from the mind, and you'll be able to stay connected with the, you know, the feeling of the present moment. So that's the way we have to cultivate it. Only the thoughts that are particularly giving us problems, you can spend more time focusing on them to try to get some clarity on them, to let go of it, but letting them go and coming back to develop. That's what concentration and mindfulness, that's a balance of concentration and mindfulness. Mindfulness keeps you alert. His ability to notice when thoughts are coming in, distracting thoughts are coming in, or the mind starting to run after a sound, or starting to get disturbed by a pain. The mindfulness is like the watchdog that bark, roof, roof. Anger's arising, roof, roof. And you're alert to it, so you can let go of it. Oh, it's just anger. What is it? It's just a bubble of anger. You know? Again, you watch the anger, not the object of the anger. Because when you watch the object of the anger, you only get more angry. Or the thought of your jealousy, or the thought of whatever it might be, or the thought of your pride or conceit, thinking about me or the other. No, those we try to let go, and we just try to see just objective, the content of the consciousness, which is the thought itself, the emotion itself, the sensation itself, it's a painful feeling, it's a pleasant feeling. But not identifying them back to me and my history and my past and future related to the particular thing. But sometimes, of course, we may need to reflect on that to try to get some clarity and let go of it. But otherwise, we keep grounding on that. Could keep coming back to just the present moment. That clarify? You know, there are different methods of meditating, and different traditions have their different methods. Visualization maybe is a method, especially in Tibetan Buddhism, they use a lot of visualization. or mantras. But in this form of meditation, mindfulness, we don't want to create something that's not just naturally there. The Buddha used the natural occurring processes of the body and mind to use for developing mindfulness and awareness. Because we already have too many, the mind's already creating a lot of other things without deliberately creating more things. But, you know, everybody may not respond to just the mindfulness of the breathing and so on, or mindfulness of the body. And so sometimes these other methods may be used. And there are things like substitution of thoughts. So even within this practice, let's say if your mind is plagued by anger towards somebody, then you can substitute, you'd send out thoughts of metta to the person, even while you're meditating, to let go of watching your body or breathing for a moment, and just, you know, may this person be well and happy, may this person be free from suffering, even may I be well and happy, may I be free from suffering, may I be free from greed and hatred, and may all these other people be free from greed and hatred. While you're developing these positive thoughts, then the anger may disappear, and you let even go of those positive thoughts, and you rest just in the wordless present moment awareness. So, you know, there are times when some other practices, such as even chanting or visualization or reflection, can be useful. But in the end, all that should be let go of to rest and allow the mind to go deeper into the silence, into the vibration of the silence and awareness, where the sense of self can even disappear. You have a question? You got answered. That's why I included these few exercises before meditating. And in the retreats that I lead, and especially the longer retreats and so on, yoga is an integral part of it. For the fact that, again, it's easier for some people to concentrate on the physical exercise. But what you're concentrating is the present moment. Anyway, you're concentrating on the posture. You're concentrating on feeling the various sensations of the stretched muscles and so on, and trying to relax and allow the muscles to stretch out more and so on. So, you know, it's basically not different. But at some point, you have to let go of that deliberate type of activity in order to go deeper into the mental silence. But yoga exercise, tai chi, other forms of, you know, meditative movement, these are all kind of preliminary types of practices to help soften up the body and the nervous system, to, you know, get in touch with the subtler energies and sensations, which is the starting point for going deeper. That lady had her hand up before then. That's because it's so relaxing. And that's why you have to maintain mindfulness. And the practice of meditation is learning to balance awakeness with calmness. So the concentration, like the ability to keep your mind from wandering and keep it just, you know, sitting, breathing, or just breathing in, breathing out, that's calming and soothing to the mind. But if it gets too calm, the sleepiness can occur. Or the mind can space out, or in some times go into some sort of catatonic state even. You don't want that to happen. That's why you have to wake it up with mindfulness. You have to be remain alert by remembering the present moment, by having that knowing of the breathing, sitting sensation, something to keep from the mind slipping out into the spaced out states. But, you know, people struggle. They practice meditation for a long time and, you know, struggling with their thoughts and their pains. And all of a sudden, the mind becomes more peaceful and you get into this kind of peaceful state and feels so good. You know, it's like, and it's enough. And so the mind then, because it's not, hasn't developed its awakeness, it falls into like a sleepy state. So that's the danger. Whenever that starts to happen, you have to try to wake the mind up by, again, deliberately trying to feel more of the body, the sensations, or something to keep from the mind slipping into this kind of drowsy, spaced out state. Well, that's the one of the drawbacks of chanting the mantra. Although some people use that, they write, that's the basis of transcendental meditation, is to use these kind of, some mantra keeps repeating in the back of your mind. That's kind of replaces the breath. But whereas the breath can come to a standstill, the mantra may keep on going in your mind. And, you know, as you practiced mindfulness of breathing and the body and mind calms down, the breath may even seem to stop or disappear. And then the mind enters really a deeper level of the silence. And that's good. I mean, the breath is simply a vehicle for attaining tranquility of the mind. It's not any ultimate goal in itself. It's just a tool, a vehicle for allowing the mind to come and rest in the silence of the present moment. Once the mind is resting in the silence of the present moment, it doesn't have to concentrate on anything because it's simply there. It's concentrated. And there's no more concentrating. Because there's a difference between concentrating, which is an activity, and being concentrated, which is a state of being, in which the mind is resting in the present moment and not doing any activity. So, anyway, so if the breathing disappears, that's fine, let it. Then just the awareness of the present moment becomes your object of attention. But objects are always trying to pull the mind out of that, so that's why you have to be mindful and aware when objects start to pull us out of that awareness, that's when we have to apply some other methods of trying to let go of that distraction and allowing the mind to come back to the center. Yeah, unless you want to, but that's always going to be running in your mind. And so even the mantras have to be let go of. But that's the danger of using the mantra, even though it could have some useful benefits. When you don't want it there, it may continue to go in your mind. So you should just ignore it and just try to feel some subtler you know, sensations that will, don't dwell on the mantra. But, you know, you can let it go just in the back of the mind, but don't deliberately try to focus on it. And then maybe it'll gradually disappear by itself. But a mantra, of course, is better than thinking about, you know, some negative types of thoughts. So that's the purpose of the mantra, is to replace this kind of, usually the mantra has some sort of spiritual meaning, like Om or, you know, there's so many types of mantras. And so while you're chanting that and contemplating the meaning of the mantra or just the sound, then the mind doesn't have time to get lost in all of its other things. So basically it's just a substitute for breath. But the practice of mindfulness, instead of creating a mantra, which is something you create in extra in your mind, we just use the natural vibrations and sensations of the body and awareness to guide us to that state. Again, all these different methods are for different people, and not everyone is going to be able to probably relate to or have success in any one kind of thing. But usually the awareness of the body and breathing, because it's just natural and it helped by, it's also a biofeedback, you see. You're learning to just watch yourself, and you get in touch with the deeper levels of vibration and sensation that are really, affecting your mind. Whereas just watching in a mantra is a kind of avoiding that. Watching a mantra, visualizing something else, is a way of trying to avoid the sensations and thoughts in your mind and not dealing with them, like a tranquilizer. That's why mindfulness is different than just purely trying to concentrate and to attain peace of mind. We're not trying to attain peace of mind right away. We're trying to understand our mind, and we're trying to transform our negative types of neurotic reactions by being mindful and not repeating these various things, to gradually transform our nervous system into, this more centered and peaceful state, in which those types of neurotic thoughts naturally fall away by themselves, where we can see them more clearly, not get lost in them, and we don't repeat our negative thoughts. They die on the vine, so to speak. Or they just wither away. So that's the difference between the practice of mindfulness and just other techniques that are just trying to, push all that under the carpet. Okay.